7 o'clock on Monday is time for the State Capitol Report on the Joy Cardine program. Good morning, John Munson in for Joy Cardine. This hour, a couple of different topics. First, we'll take a look at outsourcing, what it is, what it isn't, what it means, why it's so important in this year's governor's race in Wisconsin. And then after 7:30, it's Aviation Week. Aviation, an important part of Wisconsin's economic development, according to my guest after 7:30. We'll start with Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College and Chief Portfolio Strategist at Wells Fargo Advantage Funds, LLC. Brian Jacobson, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back.
So we're hearing the term outsourcing thrown about as the latest political football all over the various campaigns for governor in this state. Just so we're clear on what the term itself means, let's give it a definition. What is outsourcing?
Outsourcing is whenever a business or even an individual contracts with another business or individual to do something. For example, I personally outsource some of my cooking to a restaurant. That's a form of outsourcing, though it's not typically thought of as such. I outsource healthcare issue diagnosis to a doctor. So outsourcing is quite ubiquitous, but it seems like it's become an issue because there are some businesses, a large number of businesses, that outsource a lot of their operations that they previously did in-house to other companies, and some of those companies are outside of the United States. And so when you have outsourcing that is done by a foreign entity, that's typically referred to as offshoring, which is kind of an unfortunate label because if you think about it, offshoring implies that it's off of our shores, and some of the offshoring takes place in Mexico or in Canada, and I don't think you can really count those borders as being shorelines.
Well, in the political parlance of the day, accuracy isn't always the gold standard. So I guess we probably have to accept a certain amount of squishiness in terms like offshoring. But that's really where the rub comes in. I mean, there's a big difference between my outsourcing my cooking by going to a restaurant and say a company sending 1,000 jobs to some other country, whether it be offshore or just across the border. That used to be done in the United States. That seems to be where people are finding fault.
That's absolutely correct, and it seems like that's been an issue for almost time immemorial as far as not just the outsourcing, but any time that you get foreign entities involved, it tends to raise certain issues, especially, I think, when you have different standards as far as how you operate business, as far as whether or not it's taxes. Perhaps some of those foreign entities might be receiving subsidies from their governments, or even the regulations might be very different. And so I think that, you know, from a purely economic perspective, dollars and cents, you can look at it and say, well, you know, there's winners and losers here. But on net, we as a society benefit from this. But there are certainly losers. And then you have the issue of fairness as to is it fair if you have foreign entities that are subjecting themselves to lower standards.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, we're talking about multinational corporations, people doing business all over the world. Is it fair to expect that they'll have all of their employees in one country?
Well, no, exactly. And that's what the growing trend is for, as you call it, a multinational corporation is by definition a company that has operations in multiple countries. And, you know, sometimes what can look like offshoring is actually just a prudent way to penetrate a new market. For example, if you have an engine manufacturer who's in Wisconsin and they decide that they want to start selling their product in Europe, they're probably going to want to locate production facilities closer to their competitors. So even though some jobs might be created in a foreign country because of that form of investment, that's not necessarily the offshoring. I think where it gets a little bit more visceral and some of an emotional response is when you have, let's say, an engine manufacturer who's in the United States and selling the product in the United States, but then they locate the production outside of the United States, but yet still sell the product in the United States. So you have it where the production is taking place outside of our boundaries, and then the product comes back inside. And I think that's where it gets to be a little bit more of a political issue then.
Well, and we also have these the stories, and we've all heard them. I have friends who've told me about this, where their company decided to offshore a function. Maybe it was IT, maybe it was customer service or something, and they had to train their replacements from this other country before they left. They were being laid off, but they had to train their replacements before they left, and that always seems really cold. It plays very poorly in the press. But it does happen. Are there some companies or businesses or industries that are more prone to offshoring than others?
You know, it seems like it happens in waves, and a lot of it is driven by technology. For a long time, in the 1990s and early 2000s, the fad was to offshore some of the back office operations like call centers. I think everybody is familiar with the idea of you call a 1-800 number and then you end up talking to somebody who's in a different country. So that was sort of in vogue for a long time. But then what ended up happening was there were customer complaints about that as far as, you know, whether or not you were able to get the service that you expected as a consumer. But then also in that foreign country, wages began to rise. And I think that's an important dynamic to consider here is that some of the offshoring that takes place, it actually raises living standards in those foreign countries, raises their wages, and then actually it makes United States workers a little bit more competitive as you tend to get higher wages in that foreign country, lower wages in the United States, and it brings about some sort of equalization. So that's probably one of the biggest, most recent examples, but we also have offshoring in a lot of those back office operations and manufacturing as well. Anytime that you have it where there's some advantage to being in a foreign country because of maybe their labor costs are lower than U.S. labor costs, but you also have to adjust that for productivity because, you know, U.S. workers are very productive. And so the high wage is perhaps justified by the high productivity. There's also other factors that go into it as far as, you know, access to certain natural resources. So it's this big mix. It's not just about labor costs. It's really about the total cost of doing business.
Well, and I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about wanting to produce things closer to the point where they were being sold. And this has certainly worked in favor of the United States in a number of ways. A number of auto manufacturers from other countries have put factories in the United States because, well, this is where they were selling the cars, which is why some U.S. automakers are building cars in China, which is where they're selling them, because it's easier to build them. It's cheaper to build them over there than it is to build them here and ship them. And for the same reason, yep. Toyota and Honda and Mercedes and others are building cars in the United States because, well, it's cheaper to build them here than it is to build them somewhere else and ship them.
That's absolutely right. It's all you have to take into consideration that distribution cost, and it's across what's called the whole supply chain as far as getting the raw materials and then producing the product and then selling it to the final consumer. Everything has to be shipped, and so maybe you want to, because of shipping costs of the raw materials or because of the shipping costs of the final goods, that's going to all enter into that calculation as to where you should locate your facilities. If you're selling a very high-ticket item, very bulky, that's expensive to transport, you might want to locate it closer to the end consumer. On the other hand, if it's, let's say, something that's a little bit cheaper to ship or distribute, then you can locate yourself a little bit farther away. So that's why there is no universal rule as to how it goes about. It's a very complicated process that you have to go through. It's not something that they just look at a country and say, hey, they have low labor costs, we're going to open there. It's not as easy as that.
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, Professor, I want to turn our attention to the governor's race in Wisconsin, because this whole thing of outsourcing or offshoring has become a real bone of contention between Governor Walker and his presumed Democratic opponent, Mary Burke. Both sides accusing the other of this, but using outsourcing sort of as a political hammer to beat on your enemies. And I want to talk about the claims made by both sides and maybe get your assessment of whether they're fair or not. And then we'll also get some reaction from our listeners at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today in our State Capitol Report, we're talking about outsourcing. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Professor, there have been charges and countercharges levied one against the other by the two candidates running for governor, or at least their campaigns. We had a report that came out earlier this month that the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation awarded money to at least two companies, which then sent jobs overseas. Democrats, including Mary Burke, jumped all over this, saying the money needs to be used to help build up Wisconsin's economy. So the Walker campaign shot back with some advertising, which called Burke a hypocrite, basically, and said, well, Trek, which is the company that she worked for at one time and her family owns, manufactures a lot of its bikes in China. So we've got this charge and countercharge. Let's talk about what the real effect of this kind of thing might be on the Wisconsin economy. So the WEDC awards money to a couple of companies which actually offshore or outsource jobs overseas. What kind of effect does something like this have on our state economy in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, with Wisconsin being traditionally a manufacturing economy, I think that you are going to see a number of companies that are domiciled or based in Wisconsin that do have foreign operations and perhaps do move jobs outside of the United States on occasion, just like you will see. I remember, you know, maybe it was 10, 20 years ago, there were some big manufacturers who were moving some jobs just outside of Wisconsin into Tennessee and other areas, and that created all sorts of a political firestorm at the time. But you know, something that's really often omitted from the discussion about offshoring and you see these jobs moving overseas is you have to also understand what's not seen here is perhaps if that offshoring didn't take place, even more jobs would be lost. You know, if a company needs to cut costs to compete and to survive, once they cut costs through offshoring, you see the jobs that are lost, but not the jobs that were saved by continuing the firm's survival. And that's actually it's something that happens all the time. It's something that actually a political scientist from the 19th century, Frederick Bastiat, oftentimes wrote about. He referred to it as the problem of the seen and the unseen. So, yes, you can see, say, millions of dollars in loans going to certain entities, and then they ultimately perhaps ship some jobs overseas. However, did those loans prevent even more jobs from being lost?
Well, let's apply that to the charges being leveled against Mary Burke by the Walker campaign, that Trek Bicycle, a company with which she's been associated, shipped jobs to China. They make a lot of bikes over there. And Trek says, well, look, we have a lot of people who work in the state of Wisconsin, and you used to brag about us. Let's talk about what you just said as the framework. Let's talk about how Trek Bicycle operates.
Sure. So, you know, as far as Trek as a company itself, I can't speak to that as far as the internal operations or anything, but as far as just the concept, it's somewhat humorous because just this weekend, my wife and I, we have a child, he's a toddler, and we're getting him his bicycle helmet, and so we purchased it from Trek, and it is a Bontrager. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's a company that Trek purchased, I think it was back in the 1990s, who was famous for kind of launching mountain biking in the United States. And the Bontrager helmet, I looked and it said, oh, made in China. It's somewhat humorous that just the timing of this interview and the purchase that we recently made. But the fact is, if China is a huge market for bicycles, if you just think about the population over there and also the public transportation system, not only just with the roads, bicycling is huge over in China. And so maybe it makes a lot of sense for a company like Trek to locate manufacturing there to take advantage of economies of scale. And that's just this economic concept that says that as you produce more of something, the per unit cost can go down. And so maybe it makes sense for them to manufacture it over there, take advantage faster those economies of scale. They're closer to a huge pool of potential consumers, and then for them to actually ship some of those products back to the United States. So me as a consumer, I get to take advantage of those lower prices. The quality, as far as what I can tell, and according to the various tests that have been done, is of very high quality. It's of the same quality as what it was. It's just it's at a lower cost. So I benefit. Now, the unfortunate side effect is that, you know, some of those jobs were perhaps lost in Wisconsin, but that's just one of the sad realities of having a very competitive marketplace. Companies, in order to survive and then to thrive, they have to cut their costs and maintain that the quality at the same time.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234. This is your time to weigh in on outsourcing or offshoring. Some people call it smart sourcing or right sourcing. There's all kinds of euphemisms for it. What do you think about it? And particularly the political aspect of this as it's been used in the campaign. 800-642-1234. Here's a comment from Jill on Facebook who writes, I'm more upset with Governor Walker for subsidizing with our tax money corporations that outsource than I am with the corporations that outsource. Corporations are beholden to their stockholders, while Governor Walker should be beholden to us, the taxpayers. Well, that really kind of gets at the rub here. Okay, so it's good business sense to have your labor where you can get it at the most reasonable rate, and the balance between productivity and cost and so forth, that's a calculation that corporations have to make in order to stay in business, Professor, as you so rightly point out. But where people like Jill get upset is when that effort is subsidized with state tax dollars. Is that a fair assessment to make against the government? Should we be giving money to companies that then take it and put jobs somewhere else?
I think that is one of the dangers of when the government does do that, is there are all sorts of unintended consequences and also then the problem of the perception. Should the government be in a position to create subsidies for specific industries or specific companies? Now, we have a very long history in the United States of doing this. It's one of the reasons why the U.S. tax code is the huge behemoth that it is because of all the various subsidies that are in there. You know, should the government be in the position of trying to subsidize, say, the housing industry, the automobile industry, especially since there can be these sort of unfortunate side effects where ultimately it backfires on you? Think about the housing, the global financial crisis, the housing crisis in the United States. So I think that it is somewhat dangerous, but, you know, that's something that voters ultimately have to decide. The appropriateness. Now, I would say, though, that in fairness to the idea of the government providing some of those subsidies, we do have to think about the unseen, as I mentioned before. Yes, the government has provided a few million dollars in loans to specific companies, and those companies ultimately offshored some jobs. But did those subsidies perhaps save many more jobs? Now, the economic, most of the data suggests that those jobs are saved, but at quite a high cost, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin has been speaking out in support of a new bill called the Bring Jobs Home Act, which would give tax credits to companies that insource jobs and eliminate tax credits for companies that outsource, presumably offshoring. What sort of effect would a policy like this have on Wisconsin's economy, do you think?
It could have, it really depends upon the details of the bill itself. I haven't been able to analyze it in its full detail just because of the complexity of it. It's somewhat dangerous to try to identify when companies have offshored or outsourced jobs or if they're just creating new jobs in those areas. And in fact, you know, the whole idea of insourcing is growing in real prevalence because of the increased productivity of workers in the United States. United States relative to workers in foreign countries. Also, so labor costs per unit are coming down in the U.S. while they're rising in some of these other countries. U.S. Mm-hmm. workers are becoming much more competitive, and so businesses are naturally insourcing, or sometimes people refer to it as onshoring, some of these jobs. For the government to be able to actually calculate the exact number of jobs that have been offshored or not is really difficult, just because of the idea that if a company, are they going to try to game the system then? You know, say, well, this job here that we created, it's not just because we're trying to meet domestic demand and we would have created it anyways, but no, this is a job that we created specifically because we fired somebody in a foreign country and we hired them here. I think that there's a lot of complexity behind it, and it might be a very easy system for creative accountants and lawyers to game.
Well, and you brought up demand, because if you want to have products available where the demand is, and in the United States, demand has been weak because our economy has been weak. And we've only got about 30 seconds left, but that could also be a part of this.
That's absolutely right. Demand is a little weak in the United States, and so you're probably not going to see the same job growth in the U.S. as you are going to see job growth in foreign countries where the demand is a lot stronger. It is a very difficult thing to try to determine where the jobs should be located, and it's the idea that we should actually be creating more jobs here. I think that we should maybe just simplify the tax system, make the U.S. tax code more competitive globally. That would go a long way to perhaps bringing back jobs to the United States that were lost for really perverse reasons that are built into the tax code.
All right. Professor Jacobson, thanks for joining me this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Thanks to him for joining me this morning. Our State Capitol Report continues on the other side of the news. We take a look at aviation as it affects Wisconsin's economy. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.